CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have business consultant and mentor Bonita Banducci here on CBS Sky Radio. I'm Cassandra, and I'd like to welcome back CJ and Bonita.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So we have been talking about how women can describe the particular way in which they do work, which we're finding out is different than men. Of course it would be. So in a lot of companies, which are more mostly individualistic focused, we're broadening. We were talking in the previous segment about broadening the lens and saying, hey, that's also relationship-oriented and relational. And we're talking about the connecting the dots and the system thinking. And then even within some of the core competencies that are recognized, oftentimes there's kind of a female representation of that. So we're talking about customer focused, and then right before the break, we were talking about being a team player. So welcome back, Bonita. Tell us about your story about Carol Bartz and about this idea of team player and a female and male version of it.
Well, Carol had told me, when I asked her what it was that she brought to the executive team, she said, I can see all the different ramifications of a given issue. The guys, most of the time, they take the highest priority problem, the highest priority solution, put the solution against the problem, and fight any fires that happen. And she said, I want to prevent fires, which, by the way, is another way of describing being a fire preventer instead of just a firefighter, because a fire preventer doesn't show up unless you point it out.
Yes, absolutely. But,
okay, so getting back to this point, she's actually describing connecting the dots, the systems kind of thinking, which I was very excited about. But then she added, for this she was considered to be not a team player. So now we're bridging into this other competency interpretation, that the men actually were perceiving her as stalling the action because she's bringing in a complex solution. They couldn't get right into action. She was getting into other people's turfs, which is not being a team player. You're supposed to be in your own turf. And she was not following the call of the quarterback. You know, she was saying, well, I think we should do it this way instead of going with the CEO, and using the highest, status person as the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So here, that's the way the more individualistic people were seeing team player. What team players are for women, for the most part, is usually we throw all the issues out on the table, sort them all out, see who's going to do what. This is particularly amongst women. Mm-hmm. But bringing your best thinking to the problem and preventing fires is being a team player, mm-hmm. rather than having to subject the organization to the difficulties of ramifications after one kind of solution.
Mm. How did she bring that to light with the executive so that they could understand that what she was doing was, in fact, being a team player in a different way?
Yeah, and that's why I encourage women, most of whom are the relational people, to talk about your competencies as you're using them, as competencies. Right. Otherwise, they're invisible or misinterpreted.
Right.
The preventing the fire preventer doesn't show up as a leader.
Right.
I've actually had men suggest to women that if they want to get ahead, they should light a few fires and put them out, which to us is grotesque.
Right. So even if she had said, like, in the interest of the team, one of the things I think is thoroughness, and one of the things that I don't think we're looking at is XYZ, then it would have been presented as, like, this is team playing, right? Like, versus when she said, well, how about this? How about this? How about this? Have you thought about this? Where it's like, oh, that's just the woman nagging me to take out the garbage.
Yeah, right? You're right. It's interpreted as nagging, whereas for us, it's continuous process improvement.
Yes. This is but me showing you love. You don't get it. It's me showing you love.
Yeah.
Whereas if she had said, that again, bringing and saying, like, in the interest of the team and preventing, you know, problems later on, I, you know, just even repositioning the term so that she could be repositioning as a team player. You know what I mean? I think that would have helped from a.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And since you brought up continuous process improvement, in some areas we have to be careful, because, for instance, often the guys, they need to be acknowledged for something that's accomplished. We're so excited about getting on to the next thing, to fix the next thing. So we have to be aware when our way of doing things also rubs up against their sense of pride, and we can become what they can conceive of as complainers if we don't acknowledge what has been done.
Right.
So I just want to put that in.
Right. Then, didn't you realize I did take up the garbage? I know now you're asking me to fix the sink, but I did take out the garbage.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yes, you did. Thank you so much for taking out the garbage, and I appreciate it. And
yeah.
When you have a chance, let's look at the sink because you know, we're all part of this.
The same thing happens in the workplace.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So tell us about Devil's Advocate, because we have a couple more minutes.
Well,
tell us about
this
that.
Is the, for instance, I think probably the key area that really kills off women, that has us leave our organizations and even leave fields like engineering. There's such a prevalence of what we call devil's advocate, which is usually poking holes in an idea. When a proposal is made, the immediate response is usually, in the individualistic world, let's poke holes in it to make it bulletproof. And relational people will often back down, feel personally attacked, and resigned about being able to be able to make a difference. When we recognize that this is the individualistic person's way of trying to actually support an idea by making it bulletproof, sometimes it gets extreme, I must admit. But when we can accept that this is a way of communicating and problem solving, and that we have a different way, and we need to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, by saying, okay, Joe, I'll play devil's advocate with you, but first I want you to play angel's advocate with me. Mm-hmm. And angel's advocate is a term that I got from one of the men in my workshops, actually. Mm-hmm. We could call it collaboration if you don't want to use a religious term, but I like it because angels traditionally have brought epiphanies, you know, messages from God and insights. So I like that idea of angel's advocate. And an angel's advocate is building an idea, adding to it, enhancing it. And actually, for real innovation, we need both. But the individualistic people, they have no muscle for that at all. You actually have to teach them.
Right.
And
right.
Again, what I say is, Joe, I want your best thinking on this.
Right.
Not
yes,
don't
so
make
good.
Them wrong
yeah.
by saying, you know, no, your devil's advocate is wrong. Just say, before we play devil's advocate, I want your best thinking on this. I want you to build on it, and then we'll play devil's advocate. And in doing so, you're getting what you want, what really feeds your innovative thinking. And you're also helping them build a new muscle and recognize that there is another competency there.
Right.
I had two engineers from the California Water Quality Control Board play this when I first did it. And they solved the problem. They worked together every day. But they solved the problem by playing angel's advocate that they hadn't been able to solve before.
Right.
So this is for the guys, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has multiple impact, because you'll increase your innovation, but you'll also build your confidence and effectiveness with whole groups by being able to make those two distinctions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I actually was in a court mediating for a couple of years in small business claims, and it was always, the question was always like, I want this, and the other person might say, I would want this, and I'd say, okay, well, how can we find a way where we can get both? And the whole idea was just, you know, their heads were exploding, like they never thought about it, that we could both be happy. You know, it's like, yes, you can.
Great
it's like,
example.
I guess I was being an angel's advocate, so thank you so much, Benita, for being here. I wish I had someone like you building a framework when I was in the corporate world. And for folks out there, I think this is really great in terms of helping us language things for promotions and on the job site, and to help educate people on the ways that women add value at work, which are many, but that sometimes we can't describe. So thank you so much for being here. Next week we have woman activist Jean Shinoda Bolin and psychotherapist Olivia Mellon. Mellon talking about the psychology of money and how women and men think differently about money. So have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks again, Bonita.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.